What is up, Rookie Gang? I'm your host, Lauren Lapid, a 22-year-old from the suburbs of Southern California, a recent college graduate. Okay, we're going to have to pause there because I graduated now over a year ago. So am I still a recent college graduate? Can I still say that? Please, somebody DM me and let me know. But I am also now a fresh New Yorker trying to adult in this crazy post-college life. You're listening to Rookies in the Real World, and today we have another Wine Wednesday, this time featuring tour band manager and Emmy award-winning journalist Tyler Miranda as we drink and get honest about what it's like being creatives under quarantine, and he tells us all about what it's like to basically be in a band.
It's Rookies in the Real World, whoa. It's time for real talk on becoming an adult.
All right, what is up, rookies? And welcome back to another episode of Rookies in the Real World. To any new listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. Today is episode 12, meaning it's another Wine Wednesday. So to anyone who's new, let me break it down for you guys. The last three episodes, we have covered each of our three main segments, New York City. Molly, Elizabeth, and I just like broke down our budgets as new grads in LA and New York. And for our career episode, Dana from Slightly Thriving led our episode giving advice on what to do when you lose your job. It was really poignant and I think just so, so helpful. I also did an episode featuring just another Asian podcaster as we talk about how to be proper allies for the Black Lives Matter movement. Definitely go give that a listen. I think it was a really insightful episode. And then last week, the DIY Money Guys came onto the podcast to talk all about personal finance in your 20s. And I think that was just such a helpful adulting themed episode. So, you know, we've had another three great weeks of wholesome and helpful advice, meaning it's time for another Wine Wednesday. So everyone grab your favorite alcoholic beverage of choice or not. Drink what you want to drink. You do you. And get ready to hear Tyler Miranda and me play a few drinking games and unpack what it's been like, really, just being a creative under quarantine. And I have two disclaimers. First off, I know that when this all started, I said I'd only do one episode kind of talking about quarantine, but I think it's safe to say that this has gone on longer than a lot of us thought that it would. But also, we don't really focus too much on quarantine. Like, we get into his story, how he ended up managing a band, and it's just really incredible. And to anybody who's like ever just like been like, in another life, I was a roadie, or like in another life, I would have been in a band. He has like the coolest stories. So I think this will be really fun for everybody to listen to. And then second, remember that Wine Wednesdays are supposed to be the comedic relief of every month. Everything said on this podcast is meant for comedy and entertainment. We don't mean to offend anybody. This is a lighthearted episode, really, but before we get started and I introduce you to today's wonderful, wonderful guests, I wanted to hit you with a few important notes first. Black lives matter, y'all, and I've said it before, I'll say it again. All lives cannot matter until Black lives matter. And I know that the truth is hard to face. It is ugly. Our history is bloody, and the truth is oftentimes inconvenient and uncomfortable, but we can no longer turn a blind eye to the systemic and deep roots of racism running rampant in our country and in our everyday lives. And now that the media is covering the protests less and less, and our social media feeds are slowly returning back to the old quote unquote normal of content, that doesn't mean that the fight for Black Lives Matter is over. The revolution has just begun, guys. Like, we need to keep it going. The movement, it can't stop with us, and I urge you to keep the momentum going. Keep sharing resources, keep signing petitions, keep peacefully protesting, keep having these hard conversations, and especially if you're not African American, continue working hard to be an ally and fight against unconscious bias. One of my favorite podcasters, Vanessa Rock, shout out Vanny Rock, of her podcast On the Rock, said this so well in her most recent episode that dropped last week. There is no place for racism in my life or in this podcast, not in this space. This is a safe space for everybody, and I want everyone in the Rookie Gang to stay woke and remain active agents of positive change, guys. Like, we are going to make shit happen. So with that, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get preachy on you guys, but I just feel really strongly about it. And before we dive into today's episode, I want to give a moment of silence again for all of the lives loss due to police brutality and racism in our country, from George Floyd to Breonna Taylor and beyond. All right, thanks, guys. Remember to keep the momentum going. Black Lives Matter. All right, everybody, without further ado, meet today's guest, Tyler Miranda. Hi, Tyler.
What's up?
So let me tell our listeners a little bit about you, because you have like the craziest, like coolest background. But Tyler is an Emmy award-winning journalist, which I did not know. You never told me that you've won an Emmy. What the hell? That's really cool. You should brag about it. What was the Emmy for? Well, you should.
It's like a college Emmy, still an Emmy, yeah. But I got it for a documentary that I did on like a school robotics team. So that's
very cool.
I followed like a school robotics team in Flagstaff for 6 months, and I literally just filmed them for 6 months and kind of.
Tyler, that's dope.
Yeah, and kind of just like went through their trials and tribulations of like trying to get to the state finals for the robotics team.
Stop it. Oh, I didn't know that. Well, that's really cool. You are so talented. But yeah, so like kind of like you mentioned, you're a graduate of the Sandra Day O'Connor School of Law, Arizona State University. And you are also the dope tour manager of one of my favorite bands, the phenomenal indie rock band, The Happy Fits. And yep. I mean, I feel like tour manager, it doesn't describe what you do enough, because I know what you do, and you do a lot more than that, for sure. So yeah, we'll get into that. But
okay.
Don't worry, I wrote a lot. I know I wrote a lot about you. But
where did you find all these things?
Your LinkedIn, first off. I connected with you on LinkedIn, bitch. I forget about
LinkedIn. Yeah, I look super pale in there. It looks awful.
It doesn't look like you. I was like, I'm sure this is Tyler, but this photo is making me second guess everything. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you do it all. Like you're on the road with them, like doing photography and videography, in addition to like all of your roles as a tour manager, and you edit, you live with the guys. And I mean, if anyone has ever wondered what it's like to be a part of a touring band, I'm sure you're going to have some fun answers and some fun stories. And you also just started your new podcast. Yay.
I did. Thank you.
Well,
thank you.
Yeah, it's been really fun. And we'll dive into everything. I'm sure people have burning questions. But like I mentioned, this is the Wine Wednesday episode. So, of course, we're drinking. What are you drinking right now?
I am drinking Buffalo Trace whiskey. And this is all I drink. I'm going to be
just
real.
Just straight whiskey?
Just straight buff. This specific brand, Buffalo Trace, is absolutely incredible. Because my thing with whiskey is every whiskey you drink, it like burns, right? And you're like, oh, that tastes horrible.
I think of whiskey and I like.
This has zero burn. It's literally nothing.
Wait, what proof is it?
It is 45%. I promise you, it doesn't burn. I'm like, I'm a bitch when it comes to like, you know, like.
I am.
And I'm a lightweight too. So I'm probably going to be faded.
I'm going to be so faded by the end of this. But, oh, yum. Well, you're drinking something way more adult than me. I usually go into these and either like crush a Truly or wine. But today I was like feeling a little funky, you know? Mm-hmm. So I did a quarter cup of peach juice. And then I was like, why not? 4 shots of Malibu. And then I filled the rest up with a mango Truly, and it feels really tropical and really good.
You know what's funny? I can't drink Malibu anymore. I drink it so much in college.
In college? That
when I drink it now, it's just like I like hop in a time machine, like back to being a kid in college, and it's awful.
To start, we have a fun little icebreaker. So it's 5 never have I ever prompts, and if you have done it, we have to first admit it, and then regardless, both of us have to drink. Like, if one of us has said yes, we both drink. Because I figured if we go down together. That's the camaraderie here. So, all right. Are you ready?
Yep.
Never have I ever gotten somebody's number at a concert. I have.
Does it totally count? No, I don't think so. Does it count
if you
got somebody's... But does it count? But see, I didn't get her number there. I don't know if it counts if you get her number through somebody else.
Interesting. Sure, I've never heard this part of the story.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I got it through somebody else. Or I DM'd her. I don't remember. But I'll drink regardless.
Okay, you have to drink regardless because I got
Was that on my LinkedIn too?
No, bitch. I just know you because we're friends. Yeah. Okay. Never have I ever hooked up with someone who is in a band. You're thinking really hard, Tyler.
These are dumb because it's going to make me sound like I do all these things all the time. And it's
hard for me to remember these things.
But I'm trying to. I don't think I ever have. No.
I have. So you got to drink.
Oh, God.
Listen to my last Wine Wednesday episode. One of my favorite people on Instagram and I go through the song lyrics of the song that was then written about me in the aftermath.
Yeah.
And it's an incredible roast. But never have I ever been kicked out of a bar. I'm just going to drink.
I've been kicked out because of somebody I was with. So yeah, not necessarily me, but yeah.
No. Listen. I feel like I'm definitely the more degenerative of this duo because I got kicked out of bars a lot in college and mostly it was for being underage. Well, not, okay. It's because I'd be underage and like I wouldn't have like an X on my hands or whatever.
Gotcha, I would have
the X on my hands and I'd be holding someone's drink and then like somebody would walk by and be like, you gotta go, even when I'm not fucked up. So that has happened multiple times. So I just wasn't slick. But okay. And gotcha. I mean, I don't condone underage drinking, y'all, but you know, it happens.
You got to do what you got to do.
Never. I mean, you went to ASU. You fucking know. You know.
But see, but here's the thing. I went to ASU for law school. My undergraduate was at NAU. So when I went to ASU, I didn't party or anything. Like I was studying all the time. So I didn't get that experience at ASU. So whenever people are like, oh, you went to ASU, like this party school. I was like, yeah, but like I was in law school there. Yeah. So I couldn't go out.
Oh, man. Well, have you ever been hungover at a show?
Yeah, all the time. That's I drink every. Okay, this is like getting into things, but like I drink every single show, and I don't know if that's fair or not. I mean, I kind of have to get like loose to talk to people.
No, I mean I would too. That's the thing, though. I feel like it's such a high, you know, like high energy kind of crowd when you're doing it all the time. I feel like it definitely helps to have a drink or two to loosen up.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, this is the last one. Never have I ever been up for over 24 hours consecutively.
Yeah, I definitely have.
You have?
Yeah. So that's 48 hours?
God. Oh my God, you're crazy. Okay, before we move on to the questions I have prepared for you, I first want to lay some episode rules because it's a Wine Wednesday. We got to shake it up. So to keep us hydrated, I think it'd be fun if we have a little game. And everyone, if you're listening, to like feel free to play along. But every time one of us says like as a filler word, we have to drink. Because
that's tough.
As podcasters, you know, we're constantly trying to improve our diction and how we speak. And so, and we're drinking, which means the likes are just going to flow out of us. Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know, this could be a fun challenge. You in?
I'm down. I'm going to get so drunk. I'm going to get faded because I have a sticky note on the desk that I do the podcast on. And I told my best friend, I was like, we say like and all the time.
Oh, no.
All the time. And so I literally have to look at this thing when I do the podcast because I realize when I edit them, I say it so much.
I hate editing. I have to like disassociate from myself because I hate the sound of my voice. But I'm so excited. You're going to go back downstairs and Ross is going to be like, Tyler, why are you fucked up? It's like not even 9 p.m. It's going to be great. I'm excited. All right. So we're diving in. Tell us about how you came to be the tour manager of the Happy Fits. And I'm excited because I feel like I've heard bits and pieces of the story, just like knowing you, but I've never gotten like the actual story. So I'm excited.
Yeah. So after I graduated law school, I didn't become a lawyer or anything. I knew early on I didn't want to do that. So I ended up just getting my master's in legal studies. So I condensed it from like 2 years into 1 year and just had like no life for like an entire year. And then I moved back to Flagstaff where I did my undergraduate and I worked at a law firm for 2 years, a little over 2 years. Mm-hmm. But within the first 6 months, I started running my own musical website. Like I did music reviews and I had the backing of the lead singer of the Lumineers. His name's Wesley.
Oh my God. What?
He's the coolest dude. And he was so sweet and he always helped me out with stuff. So he was sick. And then, so I would write like music reviews for like albums that would come out and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I said like, but that didn't count because I said stuff like that.
Yes, no, you're good.
And so the gist of the story is I found the Happy Fits randomly. There's this playlist I always listen to called the Happy Hits. And this is like no bullshit. I literally typed in the Happy Fits And then I saw their album pop up. It's like the banana one. Mm-hmm. And it was the worst looking album cover I've ever seen in my life.
It's Microsoft Paint vibes. I love it.
No, it is. And Calvin made it on Microsoft Paint.
Oh my God.
So I saw it and I was like, this is terrible. And I was with a friend at the time and we were at a coffee shop and I played it and I was like, hold on.
Oh shit, wait.
I was like, this is really, really good. And then I think it was one of my friends I was with. I don't know who it was, but I think she was like, yeah, they're really good. And then, but like kind of we forgot about it. But then that night I kept listening to them and listening to them and listening to them. And I was like, oh, these guys are really good. And nobody was listening to them at the time. Nobody. Mm-hmm. And I took photography. This is going to go such weird routes, but I took photography in 2014 for this sports camp in Boston. So I lived in Boston for like 5 months.
What the heck?
Yeah. And one of the guys I became close with, it was like a group of people that I became close with there. But one of the guys started interning at Spotify.
Okay.
And when you're an intern at these like, at Spotify or Sony or any of these people that are A&R representatives,
yeah,
you're trying to find, as an intern, you're trying to find the next best thing that people don't know about yet. And so I reached out to him and I was like, hey, he emailed a bunch of people. It wasn't just me. He emailed like a group of people on this group chat or this group email. And he was like, if you guys have any bands that are under the radar, let me know. Cause I, you know, I'm trying to look better at my job and I'm trying to like, you know, be favored in this position. So I sent him a list of people that I thought were really good and the Happy Fits were on there and they got on a playlist. And so that kind of started, it was like it was a big playlist at the time. It's not as big as they are now, but it helped them get like a jump start into, you know, their like journey they're on now. So I reached out to them like a week after doing that. And I was like, hey, I want to interview you guys for my website I had at the time. And I interviewed them and it pains me so much because I cannot find this interview anywhere. I know we recorded it or I don't know if we did it through... We might have done it through Zoom, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So I think we might have done it through Zoom or we did it through something, but I don't know where it's at. And then one thing led to another. And then I was like, you guys have a manager? And this is when they didn't have anything. Like literally, I was like, do you guys have a manager? And they were like, no. And I was like, well, I don't know anything. But I was like, I would love to help out. You know, like I have these connections in the music world and like I can kind of put my foot in the door to things and I'm really good
at talking. You have a law degree.
Yeah. But I was just like, I just feel like I'm really good at talking to people and kind of like getting my way into situations sometimes I don't belong in. So I was like, I'll do my best to get you guys into situations that maybe we shouldn't be in at these times, but it's only going to help us going forward.
Yeah.
And that was it. And then I literally flew out to here, Pittstown, in October of 2016.
Oh my goodness.
Gonna be 4 years ago this October, but I flew out here. And I was still working at the law firm, newly working at the law firm too. And I met the guys. I remember meeting Calvin. Oh my God. So I don't know where exactly it is in New York City, but I met him in New York City at,
oh my God,
it's a plaza. Damn, I don't know
the
what
plaza?
It's called. Like Plaza of the Americas or something. It's
the
like
Plaza of the Americas, yeah, Midtown. Yes.
That's literally where I met Calvin. I saw Calvin for the first time and he gave me a
big hug. We met at the Plaza of the Americas. You and I did.
Yeah. So we might have... Okay, I'm having deja vu right now. Like mad deja vu. Because I think when me and Ross went there to go to your place, I think I told him this is where we first met.
Oh my God. Which it all comes so full circle.
I know.
It's all full circle. Ooh, I'm obsessed.
Yeah. But I'm pretty sure it's the same place. But they had a live audition there. And one of the rooms upstairs. And so they did a live audition for Elektra Records. And Elektra Records is like a subsidiary of Atlantic Records.
Yeah.
The best way to describe it to people is like, if you're into baseball, it would be like the AAA team. Not like
So
Elektra Records takes all these smaller bands and then grooms them to get onto Atlantic Records. And so at the time they did an audition for it and it was low-key kind of awful. And I think the people there could tell immediately that they were super, super green. Like they didn't really know, or none of us knew what we were doing. Like they brought their parents. Like their parents were in the room.
And they played.
And then I remember the lady who wasn't even a parent of the guys. Like she was just a friend of one of the parents. She was like, so what does this all mean? Like, are they getting signed? And then looking back now, it's just like, oh,
cringe. All four sides.
None of us knew. So we were just like, I mean, I guess it's a right question to answer. And I remember we came back to Ross's house where I'm at now. We ate pizza and we were just like, well, all right, we're doing this. And that was it. I went back to Flagstaff, and I lived in Flagstaff for about a year and a half more. Mm-hmm. And I told the guys, I was like, if you guys get big enough to where it makes sense for me to come out to New Jersey and live with you guys, like, I would love to do that. And then it just, like, the stars kind of aligned, and I had a living situation that worked out. And so I moved out here. And then as things start to get bigger, you bring other people on, because mm-hmm. I could only realistically take them so far without knowing, you know, I don't know a lot of things in the industry, you know what I mean? So it just worked out that we brought other people on that I found. Mm-hmm. At first, I found one guy who ended up producing their album, and then he used to be in Passion Pit.
Oh, like, what the fuck?
They're huge. So he's in Passion Pit, and he produced Concentrate. And so I think the guys
that's dope. Like,
yo, do you want to manage? And so me and him were managing them for a while. And then he brought one of his friends on who's a genius. He's literally a genius.
This is wild.
He worked with really, really big bands. And so we kind of have this team now where I'm tour manager. One's a business manager, but like one does day-to-day things. One does big picture things. I do all the road stuff. And that's basically all.
And I mean, you do more than road stuff. I feel like you have a big hand in creative as well.
I do. Calvin does too. Calvin does a lot. It's kind of me and him kind of bounce off on things. Like, they have a lot of new content that's coming out for the new album.
And I'm so hyped.
And that's stuff that me and him kind of bounced ideas off on each other with, like, you know, like, for example, like going to pizza places, rating this pizza, or like rating.
Oh my gosh. Oh, we love. Like
that. So it's been super, super fun making all that stuff. But that's basically the whole story of how it all.
Oh, I'm literally like so proud of you though, because you guys have come so far. Also, I'm proud of us for not saying the word like, but we deserve drink. So you're going to drink.
I definitely said like a lot.
I'm no, you didn't.
Right now. No, I did. I did. Said, I know I did.
No. But you said like, but in proper grammatical context. So I couldn't ding you for it. I was listening.
I appreciate that.
Okay. Well, I want you to elaborate on like what the best and worst part about being on tour is.
Mm-hmm. Well, the best part is just going to all these cities. I know it sounds so cliche, but it's cool to visit places I probably would never visit if I didn't do this. You know what I mean? Like, I would never go to, I don't know. Where wouldn't I go to? I probably wouldn't go to Florida all that much. Florida's like kind of shitty. Most parts of Florida are shitty.
No offense to our Florida listeners, but.
No offense to you guys, but I'm going to be real. Kind of shitty. And so Florida, like places like that, I don't think I just personally wouldn't go to them, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's cool to see all these places and kind of, this is kind of going on a tangent, but like.
No, you're good.
When I lived in Arizona, I didn't like it. I thought Arizona.
Are you from Arizona? I can't remember. Are you from Arizona?
Yeah. And so when I lived in Arizona, I was like, I don't really like it here. You know, I want to explore. I want to go to other places. Yeah. I want to do other things, right? Like, I want to go to the East Coast. And I had a little taste of it when I went to Boston for 4 months. And I loved Boston. Boston was so sick.
Oh, I love Boston.
It was just a really, really fun experience. And I moved out here. And I must say, I miss Arizona a lot. I took a lot of things for granted that Arizona had. Yeah. You know? It's kind of like you don't know what you like until
you experience other things. Yeah.
I don't know your personal feelings on this. But I just think the West Coast is so far superior to the East Coast.
Oh, so far superior.
I just think it's so much better.
I would agree with that statement. I mean, to be fair, we all know, I say in the intro every episode, I'm from Southern California, so I feel like it's just like kind of hard to beat. So,
yeah, I 100% agree. Like, what I will say is there's no city in the world like New York. There's none. New York is like, you go there and you're just sitting there and you're like, there's no way this is like a real city. You know, it's so big and there's millions and millions of people in such a tight, confined space.
Oh, it's wild.
But just the vibe overall.
New York has such a different vibe.
Such a different vibe. And it's not that it's bad. It's just not my vibe personally. Mm. My vibe is more kind of a little more laid back.
Laid back, yes.
You know, going with the flow sort of thing. But
I agree. But
taking it back, the best thing about tour is definitely seeing all the places. Oh, I'm an idiot. Food is by far the best thing about being on tour.
I thought it would 100%. Be hard because when you're on tour and like you're driving through like bumfuck nowhere, it's like, okay, I guess we'll eat Denny's again. Because I've driven across the country a few times and there would be so many times it's like, okay, I guess we'll just go to this diner. So what food? Okay, I need you to elaborate because clearly I'm cross-country road tripping wrong.
See, I don't play that shit. And that could be one of like the bad things about the guys having me as their tour manager or the best thing. I think it's a little bit of both.
Oh, I'm sure they're thankful for you.
Yes, but it gets to the point sometimes where I'm like, I'm not eating that. We're going to go here because I'm telling you it's going to be good. And so.
Oh, you know the good spots. The first time we met, yeah. You took me into like, I don't even fucking know. Like, it was like Chinatown. This place was not on Yelp. This shit was not on like Google Maps. It was like a dumpling stop. And it was so fucking good though. Dude,
that place. And I can't take credit for that. Because one of my friends I met at ASU, she lived literally 2 blocks away from that shop. And so she's the one that told me. She was like, you got to go there. Because I grew up on that place. Like, that place is amazing. So now I go there all the time. But it's because of her. But yeah, definitely the best thing is food. Because I'm a big Yelper. And so yes. I Yelp all the time. And so I'll look up like what's the best places to eat in the middle of nowhere. And it's fun. It's so fun.
Okay, well, what's the worst thing then?
The worst thing. This is gonna sound so cliche. yeah. So there's a big misconception, and I know the guys like to be really humble all the time. And it's not like we're famous or huge or anything, but we're fortunate enough. We just have a lot of the stars kind of aligning sort of thing. So when it comes to hotels, one of my roommates, when I lived in Flagstaff and working at the law firm, he still works for Hilton.
Oh, shit. So you guys have I'm under
his family and friends discount. So we only stay at Hilton's. That's all we stay at.
Okay, bougie.
So we definitely shower every night. So it's funny when we're on tour and we're doing like meet and greets or the guys are doing it and they're like, you guys sleeping in the van tonight? Like, you guys sleeping outside? And it's just like, no.
Actually.
But you don't want to sound like a dick. So it's just we're okay. But the worst thing, I don't know what the worst thing is. The worst thing, I guess, is it's mentally exhausting. Yeah. There'll be times where it's not even a joke. We're in the hotel and I don't know where we were the night before. That happened a couple times. Like, I truly didn't know what city we were in the night before. Ooh, I know what the worst thing is. The worst thing is that things happen too fast that you forget about them. And I'm trying to get better at journaling them, you know, because you can't really live in the moment when you're on tour. It's impossible because you're moving so fast and you're doing so many different
things. No, and I mean, I've seen you at a concert before. You're literally recording. Exactly. And then you'll put down like that camera and then pick up your photography camera and then you're taking pictures and you're selling merch. And I'm like, did Tyler like clone himself? Because I'm seeing him fucking everywhere. So...
Yeah. There's so many things going on that you can't really sit down at the end of the night and be like, wow, this is amazing. We're doing this. It's just so high, fast paced that you kind of miss some things sometimes. And you don't realize it till a year later. You'll see something and be like, oh, I remember when I saw that in West Virginia or I saw that in Arkansas or something. You kind of forget about it.
Oh my gosh. That's such a good point though. And I'm glad you're journaling because I'm sure you guys have many a funny stories. You guys are so all funny, like individually. So I imagine you guys have so many laughs together.
Oh yeah.
I want to get into some quarantine specific kind of questions. Mm-hmm. So I know you're living with Ross. So how long have you guys been living together? Or was this just like a thing that happened out of quarantine?
It wasn't a thing that happened out of quarantine. The house. So I moved out here to take care of a house. So the owners of that house, they had another house in Seattle. So they would go back and forth. Right. I know. So they'd go back and forth. And they needed somebody to take care of their house when they were gone. So their son just graduated from college. So he came back to the house. Mm-hmm. So then it was me and him for a little bit. And I'm not going to get into it, but me and him kind of didn't get along that well. So I was like, all right, I'm going to dip out. All right. Me and Calvin and the guys were actually going to get a house. But what happened was all this stuff started popping up.
COVID happened, yeah.
So Ross was just like, you know, my parents don't mind you staying here. So I went to their house.
And I'm so glad that you guys are basically like a family, you know, like I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know too many specifics of like other bands like this size. But like just watching you guys, like you can tell that you guys are really like a familial unit and you guys are so close. And it's just really sweet. I think it's so awesome.
We're very, very close. I would put our relationship up against any other band's relationship because
100%.
We're just very, very, very open with each other.
I love it. But what are some of the challenges you've had to face while being in quarantine? So like video shoots, photo shoots, recording itself, like what has been happening? Because I feel like the music industry was heavily, obviously, like affected by this.
So the biggest problem is we have to do everything by ourselves. They can't pay for a photographer to come in and do stuff. So here's the thing. I don't say this a lot. I hate taking pictures.
So I know you do.
I don't like taking pictures. So when all this stuff started happening, their business manager and the other guy that helps them out, they reached out to me. They're like, yo, can you take pictures? I was like, whatever, I'll take pictures. I mean, not in a bad way, but you know, like, I just, there's no one else to do it right now.
Yeah.
And so we, like, this, the paper that's behind me right now, we bought all these backgrounds and stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, that looks familiar.
yeah. We bought all this stuff to do all these photo shoots, and we recorded all these new content videos that are coming out for the guys. Mm-hmm. And it's tough in the sense that we have to do it ourselves, because I know the guys would much rather hire somebody to do it.
Yeah.
And I would too. I don't like doing the work, I'm going to be honest. Like, I just, it's not something I want to get into. I don't know. It's,
well, that's why you have cool freelancer friends like me who are always willing to do shit for you.
Exactly. It's cool to have people that can help out during these times. And I've tried to do as much as I can to help them out.
Yeah.
But that's by far the hardest thing, is doing it ourselves. So we shot our first music video all by ourselves. And that's coming
out
a week or 2 weeks.
You have to tell me. I'm going to share it everywhere.
Yeah. It's going to come out. And the idea of the music video is so crazy. I don't want to spoil it, but we literally did a music video that's never been done in history.
I'm so impressed by all of you, especially you and Calvin. I'm literally like, these boys, love you guys. You guys are absolutely wild. I want it to go viral. We're going to make it
viral.
It
never, ever happened before. It literally in history. We thought about it, and no other music video has been made like this. And I had to learn all this new equipment
that
I've
never used before. Equipment.
Like, we were at first. So this is what happened. At first, we got kind of too big for our britches. We bought a cinema camera, which you make movies with. So we got
You bought it?
No, we rented it.
We
rented it.
You guys are fucking wild.
But how much it was, you might have well bought something. But so we rented the cinema camera, and we got this rig for it. But then the rig was too small for the camera. So then we wasted
the
day. Okay, whatever.
Oh.
And so then we kept the cinema camera, got another rig, didn't work. And then at the end, we ended up downgrading the camera to like a really, really, like the highest Canon you can get.
Yeah.
And then we got a nice gimbal to use with it.
Yeah.
And that's how we filmed the music video. But the problem with the music video was that it's outside. So when you're shooting something outside, cloud coverage and just shadows in general are ass cheeks. Like, it's the worst thing in the world. And so,
I can't imagine that the exposure stayed the same the whole situation.
No, it's impossible. It's literally impossible. And
I'm no
director. You know what I mean? Like, I was having to relearn things I learned in school, because my undergraduate degree was in photography and journalism, and I focused on photojournalism. So I did a lot of documentary stuff, and that was like my thing. But I don't do it anymore. You know what I mean? So I was literally having to. I literally have all these old textbooks on my computer that I was flipping.
Oh my
through.
Gosh.
And I was
glad you still had them. Oh my God.
Yeah. I used to buy all my stuff online or torrent them. Don't arrest me.
Or torrent.
That's literally what I used to do.
I want you to drink. Cause you are doing such a good job of not saying like, I'm very impressed. You bitch. You're like, I say like an a lot. You liar. You bamboozled me.
I do. But you're just missing it.
No, I'm paying attention, unless the alcohol is like really getting to me. But would you say that because of quarantine, you have more or less free time now? Because I do feel like as creatives, it goes either way, right? Like, I have picked up a shit ton of freelance clients, and I am busier than I have ever been with work because of quarantine.
There was a point about a couple weeks ago where I was busier than I've ever been.
Yeah.
With doing stuff with the guys, like, by far, it was more work than being like a tour manager, to me at least, because I was putting in like 10-hour days like 5 days a week or 6 days a week, and it just got to the point where I was like, this is way too much. And I think everybody sort of realized it, and we kind of scaled back a little bit.
Good.
Now it's not as bad, but I definitely at first felt like I was more busy during quarantine than anything. But it just goes back to the fact that we didn't have anybody to help us out with these things.
Yeah. So you guys are literally like gorilla on this.
We truly are. And what's really, really awesome is that things are starting to ease up a little bit around here.
Mm-hmm.
So we can hire people to do the next music video, so we don't have to do it all by ourselves.
Okay, I want to kind of pivot away from the Happy Fits, because we love them, but you have a life outside them. For you personally as a creative, what has been the hardest part about quarantine?
The hardest part about quarantine? I will say that it hasn't been that hard, because it kind of, because it spurred me to do other things.
Yeah, like start your podcast.
Exactly. That's something that me and my best friend have been wanting to do forever, because that podcast that we're doing, we first started doing it in 2010.
Okay, wait. I need you to explain your podcast. I was going to ask you this later, but we're into it okay. now, so you might as well. Tell us about the podcast, the impetus, the content. Tell us about your best mm-hmm. friend. Is he in Jersey?
So this is just, it's a crazy story because we started our podcast in 2010. Yeah, and I dare say that's before anybody was doing podcasting and before podcasting was blowing up. The only person that was big in podcasting back then was Marc Maron.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan wasn't even as big as he is now. Like all these people weren't that big.
Yeah.
And so we did it on this website called Blog Talk Radio. And at the time okay. our show was called the Dr. Bones and Tetris Show. And so
we did it
for a year and a half solidly.
Oh, that's a long time.
Every yeah. week for a year and a half. And we had all these guests on. We had all these musical guests. And so what we did or what I did, I played all these parts on an email. So I had a producer, I had a studio, I had all these things. And it's hard to say, like back then you couldn't really trace if you were lying or not. You know what I mean? But you could.
Yeah, I mean, but it's like, who's going to go in and do the research? Because the podcasting world was so niche back then.
100%.
No, everybody's just going to be like, okay, cool.
So 17, 18 year olds. And we had like the guy from P90X on. We had Tony Horton on. We had Iration on a bunch of times. We had Revolution on. We had all these like reggae bands come on all the time. And yeah, then we became dope. Friends with them. We were literally friends with them. And they would call into the show. And what's even crazier is we did it live. So the way that's ballsy. The way the platform worked on Blog Talk Radio, you called a number. So let's say they give you this random number, you call into it. So Blaz, my best friend, would call into the number, then he would three-way me, and then the show just starts at a certain time, like 9 o'clock, it starts recording on the phone. So we were on like landlines talking.
Oh my God, landlines. Holy shit.
And then these bands would call into the number two and we'd bring them on. Like we had like a switchboard, like a fake switchboard. And we'd be like, all right, here they are on the line. And we'd bring them on and do this show. And so we did it for literally a year and a half. We interviewed writers from TV shows and just all this stuff.
That is so fucking wild. Tyler, you kill me.
So then I went to college and it got hard to do it because I lived in Flagstaff and then Phoenix is about 2 hours away. And so me and him were far away and, you know, you're starting out college. You're going to want to meet all these people, do all this stuff.
Yeah, you get busy with other things.
100%. Mm-hmm. I didn't have time. We did it Tuesdays and Thursdays or Wednesdays and Thursdays. I can't remember. But I didn't have time during those times anymore. I was like, dude, it kind of just fell apart. Not fell apart. We just kind of didn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And it was sad because we always talked about doing it again. Always. Oh. For literally 7 years. We always talked about it. When I first moved to Jersey, I started my own podcast by myself.
Uh-huh.
And I started interviewing all these bands. It was called Musical Wontons. And I just interviewed all these bands again. And I was doing it by myself. But the hardest thing about doing it by yourself, which I applaud you. Well, you have guests on. But what I applaud, do you do episodes by yourself too sometimes?
I'm going to start to. But literally, bro, I edit, I produce, I reach out to talent. I do my graphics. I do my social. I'm mm-hmm. like, this is like a full-time fucking job. But I mean,
It's the same thing here. But my hard part with doing it by myself was that I ran out of things to talk about.
No, I love having guests. It's really, I don't like talking about myself. You know, mm-hmm. it's like weird for me to just like talk into a mic. So it's so much more fun for me to have guests like you.
And I would even do my old podcast on the road. So me and the guys would be on tour and I'd be like, all right, I'm going to go in the van. And we have a generator in the van. So I'd plug my mixer into the van. I would have a mic and I would sit in there for like an hour and a half and just talk to nobody. And
And
it got to the point where I was like, all right, I'm over this. And so I stopped it. And then again, a year goes by. So that podcast ended. I did like 13 episodes or something. And that ended in the beginning of 2019. And then I was like, I'm not going to do it. And then me and Blaz would always talk about doing it again because he lives in Arizona. And then what this show is about is it's just us talking about life because unbiasedly, I think we're so funny. And
you guys are so funny. You kill me.
Yeah, I think we're super funny. And I don't know, everybody that's around us are like, oh, you guys have great chemistry together. And we kind of just play off each other really, really well because we've known each other for so long. Exactly. And we're kind of incorporating interviewing people again. So we just had a UFC fighter on. So we're going to be like, we're both super into MMA. So we're going to have UFC fighters. We're going to have comedians and musicians on. Cause I already have my foot in the door with like the musician world.
100%.
That's the thing, I guess. Blaz wants to be a comedian. Like that's his like goal in life.
Oh my God. So cool.
So that's, we're going to get comedians on the show. And then we just have a passion for MMA. So we have like the UFC fighters coming on.
Oh, I'm so excited.
That's the gist of the podcast. And it's called If It's Free, Take Three.
I love it. You guys are really funny. You kill me. Drink. Thank you for answering all those questions. I want you to be drunk by the time you hit up Ross and his parents.
I'm almost done.
No. There's still like a quarter. So there's still some to be drunk. We're going to move into like kind of like rapid fire takeaways. I don't want you to overthink anything. Okay. What do you do to stay inspired?
Oh God. I don't know. What do I do to stay inspired? I try to be around as many people as possible. I think when I'm by myself, I'm worse. I truly believe so. When I have other people around me, I kind of can bounce my ideas off of them.
Yeah.
And then that helps me with being more inspired and more creative in a weird way.
I'm going to just start sending you more shit that I'm working on. We need to talk more on a daily basis.
And that'd be sick. That would help me as well.
What keeps you motivated? Also, I'm going to drink because I said and that's a filler word. So I'm drinking.
What keeps me motivated? At this point, this is going to sound crazy. I'm getting to the point in my life. We're on 27 now, right? And I know.
It's terrible. My goodness. You're closer to 30 than you are to 20.
I know. It's disgusting. So I'm at the point now where it's like, I'm not getting old, but I have to kick it into overdrive to get where I want to be in like the next year and a half, you know, year.
Yeah.
So that motivates me more than anything. So I would say what motivates me right now is my age.
Oh my goodness. Well, you're killing it. And if it makes you feel any better, you don't look a day over 24.
I appreciate that. I get carded all the time. So
I love that. Okay. Let's see. I'm going to drink because I said, fuck me. What do you feel the most grateful for that is coming out of quarantine, you know?
What do I feel most grateful for? I guess the guys. Because straight up, I'm not trying to sound cheesy, but if I didn't have them, I don't know what else I'd be doing right now in Jersey. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Without them, things would be a lot, lot different. So the short answer is them. Yeah.
A huge shout out to the boys.
I hope they don't listen to this.
I hope they do. I'm going to send it to Ross. I'm like, bitch.
What's funny is when me and them talk, I'm not the like lovey dovey kind of guy. We never ever talk about that kind of stuff. Yeah. So whenever me and Ross like we have like a heart to heart or something, it's like shut up, you know, like we don't get into that kind of stuff.
I love that, and I mean, I have to give a shout out to our mutual friend Lindsay who introduced us because you and I get along swimmingly well now, and I'm so thankful to have. Yes.
Hell yeah.
I mean, I'm so thankful because when I first moved to New York, I knew pretty much no one, and so it was like really nice that Lindsay was able to introduce me to you and the guys because, like, it's still so fun just, like, knowing you guys are there and, like, having you guys in my network. And, like, you know, I will always – I am the kind of graphic designer that is, like, fuck free work, never do it. But I would do free work for you guys in a heartbeat because you guys are the best. So
– thank you. Thank you. Of course. We appreciate it.
So we only have two more rapid-fire questions left. I just went on, like, a really sappy tangent, and that's when you know the alcohol is hitting me because I, like you, am not sappy.
Are you
going to
start crying?
Maybe. No, I'm wearing eyeliner. I wouldn't ruin it. But I feel like, especially, you know, like, okay, I'm drinking.
I'll drink with you.
Thank you. I appreciate your solidarity. But being in the creative community, quarantine has really reinforced this idea of hustle culture and just like working all the time and being productive. So what advice do you have for anybody, creative field or not, that is just really feeling overwhelmed and uninspired during quarantine? Because like, I know I hit a rut. I'm sure it hasn't been easy for you either. So what advice do you have?
The best advice is, even if you don't want to do it, like let's say you wake up and you're like, I'm not going to get anywhere, I'm not going to do anything, you still have to do it. Even if you're in a bad mood and you don't want to do anything, you just want to play Call of Duty all day, still have to do it. Because if you don't, it's like with anything. If you don't sharpen like your tools, it's going to get worse. It's going to deteriorate. So
I agree.
My biggest advice is you have to keep doing it, even if you don't want to do it. And if you truly like hate it, then switch
then
different.
Don't feelings. Do it.
Honestly, do something else. But if you just have that feeling of like, I don't want to do it today, you still got to do it. I know it sucks, and maybe it won't be your best work, but in some way, it's going to help you later on.
Of course. This is the last one, hardest one. It's really not the hardest one. What's your current go-to song to get you hyped up?
Oh shit, dude, I have
Oh
so
shit.
many.
Okay, run me through them. You have good taste in music. Run me through them.
I can do a song. I'm gonna give you
Okay,
artists.
okay.
So all I've been listening to, shit, I've been listening to like there's four things that I've been on repeat. People.
Okay.
I've listened to a lot of DaBaby. I mean
Okay.
an absurd amount. If you want to give you a song, I'll give you one song from DaBaby. I would say Blame It on Baby. Great song. He switches like three times. It's incredible. Second is Run the Jewels. I've been listening to them
Yeah.
so much.
Love them.
New album just came out. It's fire. RTJ4. And the best song I've been listening to from them is just
Okay.
incredible. Absolutely incredible. I've been listening to a lot of JID. And if you ever heard of him, he is Fuego. And a song I've been
Fuego.
listening, yeah, a song I've been listening by him is 151 Rum. I think
Okay,
I said four,
thank
but
you.
I'm gonna leave it to those three.
No, I love it. No,
Yeah.
those I'm gonna link. I always link everything in the show notes. I'm like a whore for good
Yes.
show notes, so
Oh
But
yeah.
Tyler, tell us where our listeners can find you. I mean, I'm sure they can look up the Happy Fits, but like, what are give us your podcast's Instagram handle, your personal handle if you're down. Like, where can our listeners find you?
So yeah, like you said, for the Happy Fits, if you're interested in listening to them, they're the Happy Fits on everything.
On
TikTok,
everything.
Twitter,
Wait, y'all are on
Instagram.
TikTok? I haven't watched your TikTok yet. I need to go on to that.
They got high key faint, like blew up on TikTok.
Stop it
Calvin,
right now. I'm looking. Okay, so
yeah, Calvin.
Calvin would. Oh, this little bitch. Calvin would be famous on TikTok.
Well, one of his videos, he turned his cello sideways and played it like a guitar. Oh my God, I'm playing a TikTok video. So yeah, he turned his guitar or his cello sideways and played it like a guitar, and he did Blackbird by the Beatles.
Oh
I
my
think by
God.
the Beatles. But he played Blackbird and it blew up. Got like 200,000 views or something. I don't know.
Jesus. Calvin
So
kills me
yeah,
though.
they do a lot of like TikTok videos.
I
But
just
for
followed
my
y'all on
personal,
TikTok.
yeah, hell yeah. My personal stuff, I'm at Tyler J. Miranda on about everything. And then for our podcast, it's If It's Free, Take Three. You can find it anywhere, Google Podcasts, Spotify,
Yeah.
Apple Music, Apple Podcasts,
And
wherever.
I'm gonna link it all in the show notes so that our
Sweet,
listeners can
sweet,
find you
sweet.
easily. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
Well, Tyler, thank you so much. First off, it's just good to catch up because I haven't seen you in fucking ages. So thank you
Yeah,
for
yeah,
doing
yeah.
this with me.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh my gosh, guys, that was so much fun. Thank you so much to Tyler and Miranda again for taking time out of your busy schedule to come speak with the Rookie Gang. And thank you to Lindsay Ann, my best friend from home, who actually introduced Tyler and me. So this couldn't have happened without you. So thank you. And guys, seriously, like listening back, I was getting so tipsy. Please excuse the like glass clinking sounds you can hear in the background. Wow. This was quite a wine Wednesday. And as always, if you enjoyed today's episodes, hit us with those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts or share this episode on Instagram. Bring some new people into the Rookie Gang, guys. I'd really appreciate it. Thank you so much again for listening. See y'all next.